The Green Bay Packers finally committed to the run game with Aaron Jones. And the rookie receivers made some really nice plays. The Packers' pass protection held up in the second half, but it wasn't enough as the Packers fell to the better Buffalo Bills team, the team we knew was better coming into this game. We'll go through the good, and there's a nice amount of it. There's a decent amount of things that we can take out of this and go, that's a positive thing. We talk about the bad, and there is unfortunately plenty of that as well. All on our live post-game show on YouTube, or if you're listening to this the next day, wherever you get podcasts. Let's start it.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table. Whatever they do.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Cobb.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. It wasn't enough. The Packers made a valiant effort in the second half to try and make this a game, but they were not able to do it. They fall 27-17. We're going to get to the defense, but I want to start with the offense because there's some really nice stuff in what we watched on Sunday night against the best run defense in the league. Number one in DVOA. Number two in yards per carry, number one in yards per game, raw stats, traditional stats, advanced stats. This is the best run defense in football. The Packers put up 208 yards on the ground, 7.6 yards per carry. Aaron Jones, 20 for a 143. That's over 7 yards a clip. AJ Dillon, 10 for 54. That's over 5.5 yards. Well, almost 5.5 yards a clip. Easily AJ Dillon's best game of the year. Also Aaron Jones' best game of the year. Aaron Jones had 24 touches. In all, the Packers outgained the Buffalo Bills, out first downed the Buffalo Bills, out third downed the Buffalo Bills, out possessed the Buffalo Bills, out total played the Buffalo Bills. And the passing yard difference, not actually that much. 190 to 216 in net passing yards. Each team was 50% in the red zone, and the Packers won the turnover battle in for the first time in a loss in the Matt LaFleur era. The first time they had won the turnover battle and not won the game in the Matt LaFleur era. The difference in this one is really, I would say it's two plays, but it's three possessions. The first play is the fourth down where Zach Tom gets blown up. On third and 15, you get the tunnel screen to Christian Watson. He creates 12 yards. He gets hurt on that play. Fourth and three, the Packers actually had what they wanted. DeGuara on a corner route. It's open. We'll wait and see. I'll pull the Matt LaFleur here and go, we got to watch the tape. It's open. They can't get to it. Okay, you don't convert, you don't get points. Later in the game, Aaron Jones on third and seven gets 6 yards. It's fourth and one in plus territory. You go for it. Not only do you not get it, you lose yards. You're in plus territory. You have a chance to get points. You can't do it. And then Josh Allen, you get the interception, the bonehead interception that Josh Allen is sometimes want to throw. And you get it, Russell Douglas, and you turn it into, unfortunately, this is just a bad luck interception. Aaron Rodgers gets the ball batted. Matt Milano, it's the first play after the Josh Allen interception, and you turn it into a turnback. That's the difference in this game. Because play to play, 6.8, 6.3 yards per play offensively. Aaron Rodgers made a couple plays outside structure. Samori Toure hits Romeo Doubs on a gorgeous catch by Romeo Doubs. A magnificent, trusting throw by Aaron Rodgers, who did it a couple times. Doubs, the leading receiver in this game, 62 yards on four catches, the leading target getter in this game. Amari Rodgers makes a play down the sideline. Samori Toure gets his first career touchdown. He is someone like Sammy Watkins was a non-factor in this game. He might as well have not been out there. And I thought Chris Collinsworth did a really good job of pointing out that in this two-minute drill, it was clear Aaron Rodgers is having to spoon-feed this offense to these guys. And you're wasting time, and you don't really get in position to have a chance to really make a play. On third and 10, maybe you can get 6 yards to make it fourth and four if you have more time. But because you have to eat up so much time in the interim, you're just not able to do that. It's situational football. And in a lot of cases, you look at the difference between the Bills and the Packers in this game is in third and have to have it situations in the red zone. It was the Bills. It was Josh Allen scrambling. It was Stephon Diggs making a play down the field. They have the bodies. They have the horses to really make this all work. And that's the difference between what the Packers have and what the Bills have right now. Aaron Rodgers played fine in this game. I mean, the final numbers will say 19 of 30 for 203, two touchdowns and a pick. That's a 91 passer rating. The final numbers will say he was better than Josh Allen. You know, I think in the aggregate, you could certainly make that case. Josh Allen had two absolutely inexcusable boneheaded turnovers. But you also at times in this game felt like the Bills offense were playing a different game than the Packers offense because the Green Bay could not or would not push the ball down the field. Now, that comes to another important thing that we need to get to. Okay, in addition to committing to the run game, which they did with Aaron Jones, and wonderful that they did that. I think this is something to really build on for this team with backups, Elton Jenkins not in the game. You got Zach Tom out there. They did the right thing in shuffling around that offensive line in that way. That all is really good stuff for this team. Those are positive signs. The coaching staff doing the things that they need to do. After the first couple of drives, you're going, oh my God, this offensive line is a mess. Zach Tom can't do anything. And then they start to run the ball. They protect better. Rodgers is running around and making plays. And you're just like, okay, yes. This is a version of this offense that can work, an offense that runs the ball, that commits to throwing the ball to these unproven receivers. You have to give them a chance to earn it. And so that was when Rodgers said after the Commanders game, I might just have to extend some more plays. I think a lot of people, myself included, went, I don't know if that's the best thing for this offense. You just need to get the ball vertically a little bit more by design, by play calling, by all these things. But what that does for Rodgers is it allows him to say, okay, I'm not just going to check the ball down when that first read's not there. I'm going to trust my receivers to do something. And then you've got Doubs, little pre-snap RPO, just get it out to him. On a third down, Amari Rodgers, third and five, you throw a transition go, a three-step go route to your slot receiver who's playing on the outside, a guy who could not get on the field for you. And you trust him to make a play. There were six straight third downs in this game where Aaron Rodgers was the design of the play, converted a third and one on the ground, converted a third and two on the ground, and then got six on a third and seven. They actually converted three of their last four third downs, and then they had that fourth down sprinkled in there when they got six of those seven back. So those are the nice things to take out of this game. The defense gets some turnovers. You covered the spread. I'm not into moral victories. I'm not. I don't believe in them. The reason I wanted to start the show here is because we have been asking for these things. We have been asking to trust Romeo Doubs to go make the play. He makes an unbelievable catch for the touchdown. We have been asking for Aaron Jones to be the engine of the offense. 31 rushes, 30 passing attempts by Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Jones gets to that 20 carry mark 143 yards. They break off some explosive runs. And this is against the best run defense in the league. I talked about this I went on the Cover One podcast, which is a Buffalo Bills podcast. And I said, the more you study these games, the more you go back and rewatch, you watch the broadcast, the all 22, you know, I watched these games 3-4 times. The more you realize it comes down to 3 or 4 plays. And for the Packers, it's 2 fourth downs and then the tipped interception. That's the difference, because play to play in the aggregate, they actually played with this Bills team. Now they lost. And there's plenty of things to be annoyed about, especially defensively. But they played the way that you wanted to see them play. No Elton Jenkins, no Allen Lazard. There are plenty of excuses you could make. They're not going to make those excuses, to be sure. It makes you feel, I think, much better about going to play a team like the Detroit Lions. It makes you feel a lot better about going to play a team like the Dallas Cowboys, who have a very good defense. By the way, the Bears scored not quite at will, but they could have gotten to 30 if they kicked the extra point at the end of that game. Like, this Packers offense doing what you wanted to see it do, making the kinds of offensive line adjustments in the face of injury that you want to see them make, that's good stuff. That's important stuff for this team moving forward, not just for this season, but as we look forward and try and project what this team can be this year and beyond. So we knew going into this game, it was going to be tough. It was going to be tough for the Packers to make this a game against what I think is either the best or second best team in the league. I think the Chiefs and the Bills are in a realm by themselves and everyone else is down here. And yet, if the Packers kick 2 field goals on fourth down, you're talking about a 27-23 game at the end of this game where you have a chance to go down and win. You have a chance to go down and win on that last possession. And if it's 27-23, we're coming out of this game going, okay, the Packers really, really hung in this game in a way that you're not after the first half when the team is, you know, down 24-7. And you're like, man, this team has got no fight. Guess what? They came back and fought. They did punch back. They go down 14-0. They come back and have a 12-play, 80-yard drive, 8.5 minutes off the clock. They run the ball. The cool thing about that drive, of the 12 plays, 10 involved running backs, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and 2, Romeo Doubs, including the touchdown. That is what this offense can be. And to do it against an elite defense it's something. It's not nothing. Does it mean that they can like go be a real contender? Let's not go crazy. But it's a sign of progress. And right now with this offense in the state that it's in, I think that's worth leading this show with, frankly. We're going to get to the defense, okay? I want to talk a lot about the defense. We're going to do that in just a second. Before we do, let's talk about BetterHelp on whatever platform you need it, because you can chat online, you can call them, you can video chat, all kinds of different ways to help you out. All sorts of great resources for you. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. Therapy is not just for people that feel like they're depressed or that they're dealing with some diagnosable mental health problem that's, you know, whatever in their life. It could just be as simple as, I want to think more positively. I want to problem solve a little bit better. I want to be able to have more productive conversations, discussions, and arguments with my partner or with, a boss. These are things that you can tackle in a therapy session. Everyone deserves to feel their best. So go to betterhelp.com/lockedon to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/lockedon for your first month. And thanks for making Locked On Packers your first listen. For your second listen, check out Locked On Sports Today. That's my show. That's my all sports show. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with the local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's talk about the defense. So you look at the box score and you say, okay, they only gave up 369 yards, 6.8 yards per play. That's not crazy bad. You get the two interceptions off Josh Allen. You hold Josh Allen to 218 yards. That's going to look really good. Devin Singletary doesn't totally kill you, but you have the interception give back on a crucial spot. And here's what I don't get. Is Stephon Diggs torches Russell Douglas on a double move. And okay, I can understand. Like, Eric Stokes essentially got benched. Russell Douglas is your second starting outside corner right now, which I get because Eric Stokes does not want to fit the run for whatever reason. And Russell Douglas will fit the run. And I, on a certain point, I get, okay, it happens. That's fine. But then later in the game, you're still using Russell Douglas in the slot and you are not allowing Jaire Alexander to match Stephon Diggs. I don't understand, in a world where you have Jaire Alexander on your team, why you would not be matching Stephon Diggs from the slot. Why would you not do that? You just, Russell Douglas cannot run with Diggs vertically. And I'm surprised they only went with one of those double moves, or at least only hit one of those double moves. We'll look at the tape and see if that's how many they tried. But that is an approach problem that I just don't understand. I just don't understand it. And in the aggregate, again, play by play, the defense didn't do a terrible job. It's not a horrible job by the defense. They get a three and out to start the game. The Packers drive down the field. They've got fourth and three at the 38-yard line and can't do anything else. Defense gives up a touchdown. The Packers come back. They try the flea flicker, which, okay, I can't even be mad about the flea flicker because I said this has to be Northwestern against Ohio State. It has to be, you know, the directional Michigan team against actual Michigan. Like, that's the playbook that you have to use. And so I don't mind that. But you go three and out and you get a little bit of a return. And now it's three plays touchdown. You're down 14 to nothing. The Packers go on this long drive. This long drive. And you do what I've been saying. Like, I put this note out on Twitter. First three quarters, the Packers have a top 10 EPA per play. And in the fourth quarter, it drops to bottom five. This team in the first half had nothing for the Bills. You have Quay Walker get kicked out of the game for pushing a coach, undisciplined nonsense. And then you can't fit the run. You lose Devondre Campbell and Quay Walker. Darnell Savage, the next person he tackles coming downhill, will be the first in this season. I don't know what happened to 2020 Darnell Savage. It's feeling very, and I hate to say this, as someone who liked Darnell Savage from the jump so much more as a player and as a personality than I ever liked Taha Clinton-Dix. This is feeling very, very Taha Clinton-Dixie, where he has the one good season and then everyone's looking around going, what is this? What is this? It's just not good enough. And for the Packers to have not, over the last 2 years, even thought about addressing the safety position when you have Adrian Amos going into a contract year this year, Darnell Savage going into an option year where in 2021, he did not play up to that option and has certainly not played up to. I mean, he's been a well below average starter for the Packers. He has not been a starting caliber player this season for the Packers. Just hasn't. Did not play like a starting caliber player in this game based on first view. All of this is, we are off the cuff right here. So I don't understand why this was the plan. They never addressed it. I thought coming into 2021, they dropped a safety in addition to a corner. I thought coming into 2022, they take a safety. If for no other reason, then you have a backup safety for those creative moments when you want to play three safeties. They played a ton of three safeties in 2021 and 2020 with Mike Pettine, and 2019 with Mike Pettine. So this seems like something Matt LaFleur is probably chill with doing. You draft Quay Walker, but he can't literally play safety. Why was there not more attention paid to this position when you just have not had the same sort of production from those spots? I just don't get it. I don't understand it. So you have a schematic problem where I felt like Jaire Alexander could have been matched up with Stephon Diggs more often. They create a big play from the slot where that is definitely where you feel like Jaire Alexander could have been in a position to make a play on it. And then you have this team building problem where you're not getting quality play out of Quay Walker consistently. Eric Stokes, your first round pick from last year, who played really well in 2021, is getting benched. Now, part of that is because Rasul Douglas is a really nice player. He's a really good player. But this is a first round pick now who's your third corner. You paid Devondre Campbell a lot of money. Now, he's hurt. I'm not going to bang on a guy because he's hurt. But he, even when he was not hurt, the Washington game was his best game of the year by far. That says more about those other games than the Washington game, although he was really good in the Washington game, but he did not have to be as good as he was to make it have been his best season or best game of the season. The interior of this defensive front outside of Kenny Clark is not very good. Jerron Reed is a nice pass rusher. He's been bad in run defense. Dean Lowry can't play. Doesn't even get on the field. And you're not getting enough from these edge guys right now. Kingsley Nagbar is a nice player. Rashawn Gary is a really good player. Preston Smith played well in this game. Not enough up front. The Bills have Greg Rousseau and Von Miller and Ed Oliver and Tim Settle. Like, they just had body after body after body making plays for them. Rashawn Gary had some pressures. Josh Allen played great under pressure. That's been an unfortunate problem all season, is the Packers have run into these quarterbacks who, even when you pressure them, Kirk Cousins lights out against pressure week one. Taylor Heineke last week lights out against pressure. Josh Allen this week lights out against pressure. That's not a thing that is sustainable over time. But in each game sample, it doesn't matter what's sustainable over time because it gets you beat. It gets you beat. And so it's great to see Jaire Alexander make some more plays on the ball because they're getting to play more man coverage. And the secondary is still playing well in the aggregate. It's still a very, like, 218 passing yards against Josh Allen is a really good night. But it's two or three plays that kill you. And then you give up, you know, it's 21-7. You go four and out. You give up the field goal. And then after your own field goal, you get the field goal. You give up the field goal right back in a game where Buffalo moves it right down the field. And you get a stop in the red zone. Congratulations. But at that point, it's 27-10. Like, the game felt out of hand at that point. So it's really just not. It's not just the situational football defensively for them. It is schematic and it is personnel. And personnel means just as much about guys playing well as anything else. Darnell, like, it's not Joe Barry's fault that Darnell Savage can't make a tackle. It's not Joe Barry's fault that Eric Stokes can't make a tackle. It's not Joe Barry's fault that Quay Walker can't fit the run, that's Brian Gutekunst's fault because Quay Walker couldn't fit the run at Georgia. It's not Joe Barry's fault that this team is thin on the defensive front. That's Brian Gutekunst's fault because he drafted Devontae Wyatt, and Devontae Wyatt can't get on the field for a team that can't stop the run. There were clear holes on this team, but we thought the offense would be good enough to fix them. We thought the defense in the aggregate would be good enough to fix them. We thought the talent was good enough. And in the key positions, the pass rush, good enough. The secondary, good enough. But you're soft through the middle of the field. And on defense, that's not good enough. Today's episode brought to you by Blue Nile. As the original online jeweler, Blue Nile offers the largest selection of independently graded diamonds and pieces priced significantly below traditional retailers. Blue Nile has helped millions of couples create their perfect engagement ring. The easy online tools let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench of jewelers will help you get handcrafted, perfect, one-of-a-kind engagement rings or whatever special piece that you're looking for. Shop stress-free with Blue Nile's 100% satisfaction guarantee. All Blue Nile orders are insured and shipped for free in discreet packaging. They also offer overnight shipping if you're in a rush. Make your moment sparkle with Blue Nile. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to save $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's BlueNile.com, promo code LOCKEDON to save $50 on your purchase of $500 or more. BlueNile.com, code LOCKEDON. And thanks for making Locked On Packers your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get podcasts. Last thing I want to bring up here, and I didn't want to put this really in any of the front sections because it feels lame, but the call on the touchdown. You have 3rd and 3. You have a great play call. You have out-leveraged the corner. The corner knows it. Big Bob Tonyan is getting held down the field. And in order to get off of being held, he gives the old chuck move, tries to dislodge himself from the corner. And it's called for offensive pass interference off of what would have been a touchdown. And if it's a touchdown, it makes it 27-17. The Packers get that touchdown later. Who knows how things, you know, are different. But that 4-point difference ends up being huge in a game you lose by 10. Because if it's 27-21, that last drive, you are driving for the win. Got a different vibe to it. Got a different feel to it. That's a bad call. It should have been, at the very least, illegal contact. I think it very easily could have been called holding. And it ends up being a situation where you take 4 points off the board for the Packers. Later in the game, an absolute garbage call on Russell Douglas for illegal use of hands to the face, where he barely touches the helmet of Stephon Diggs, or I think it was Gabe Davis. And you have a 3rd and 10 play that's extended, extends the drive. That is garbage. Now, I believe that play is one that, or that drive is one that ends in a turnover, but that's not the point. The point is, that's a bad call. And these calls materially affected the outcome of the game. Also, on the 4th down calls, because we're recording this during the press conferences, so we'll see what Matt LaFleur is asked and says after the game about those decisions. I liked all of the decisions to go for it on 4th. The 4th and 1 call was a no-brainer. The 4th and 3 call, to me, a no-brainer. In plus territory against the Bills, you need those opportunities. But just think of this. As we're talking about moral victories, if you just kick field goals in those situations, and we can't assume everything else is different or everything else is the same. If those points happen, maybe the Bills, you know, determine things differently. They play things differently. Maybe the Packers play things differently, all those things. The Packers lost by 10. They went for it on fourth down twice in plus territory when they could have kicked field goals. Now, in at least one case, it would have been a long field goal. But field goals would have given you those 6 points. The offensive pass interference call cost you 4 points. What was the margin of the game? 10. 6 plus 4. I'm not great at math. That's 10. So while I think you look at this in the first half and you go, man, this is really not ideal for this defense. Well, guess what? In the second half, they gave up 3 points. And the Packers put up 10 in a season in which Buffalo gave up 17 second half points all season. So you outscore the Bills in a half. That's something, because most teams are not doing that. And if a couple calls go differently, calls that were questionable when they were made, or you get a fourth and one or a fourth and three that gets you in a position to come away with at least 3, if not 7, this game could have been very different. So this ultimately, I think you come out feeling, I don't know, slightly incurred. You lose, you expected to lose, but this game felt close in the second half, and it felt like you are able to get the run game going, the rookies involved, you get the turnovers you were looking for. I think that is, there's enough positive takeaways in there against the best team in the league that you go, okay, there's something to build on here moving forward. It was hard to say that after the Commanders game. It was hard to say that after the Jets game, after the Giants game. Maybe at the Giants game because you had that first half where they looked really good, and maybe the Commanders game because you had the first half where they looked really good. Jets game, trash. And then you have the second half meltdown. Well, the Packers defense played better in the second half. The best second half that they've had as a unit this year, I think. That's something to build on as well. And so you just get a little luckier with some of these calls, with some of these breaks. It's going to go a long way. This team, you know, we'll certainly talk about what they need to do this week to make moves, if they want to make moves. Whether or not that makes sense for this team, the NFC is wide open. It's wide open. And so I think the Packers are still in it. We're certainly not going to stop covering the team with any less ferocity than we have to this point. So a lot more as we look forward here to the Detroit Lions. The Packers currently right now, as I see it, are favorites in Detroit. Their third straight road game, road weary, no rest for the weary for the Green Bay Packers. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Expert Tuesday, Lily Zhao on Wednesday, crossover Thursday, and our live show on Friday. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And anytime you want to come hang with us live on YouTube, you can do that. Our cast of thousands live on Fridays, 7 Central, live after the games on Sunday. You can do that on the Locked On Packers YouTube page to stay Locked On Packers.